Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here today, Wednesday, October the 13th. 2021, 16 minutes past the hour, and again, those warm temperatures are going to hold up through Saturday, it looks like, so if you've got anything you want to do in the yard, you will probably want to do them today or tomorrow, because I think Friday is going to be a pretty rainy day, and it would seem as if a cold front is going to be coming in Friday late that will bring those autumn temperatures in on Saturday. It looks like, and at this point, it looks like they're here to stay. Not that just the temperatures are going to drop for a few days and then pop back up. All right, want to talk a little bit about yesterday's program. Well, first of all, let me tell you what's coming up today on WWGH. I'll be on the air with Glenn Coble at 10 a.m. this morning until 12 noon, and then we will have a Progressive Life with Glenn Coble today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. We have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman today, 4:10 until 5 p.m., and then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon today from 6:10 until 7 p.m. Now, we have a guest coming up here momentarily, which I think you're going to want to hear in regard to everything that has been going on in the Marion community. Now, what I want to say before our guest joins us is, yesterday we did pretty much the whole show on the situation regarding the Marion City Auditor. And I want to make it clear again, we had First Ward City Councilman Kai Mead on, and we had the mayor on. Now, City Auditor Robert Landon is welcome to come on this show anytime. He can come on live. We can't edit live. He can come on and say whatever he likes. I think anybody who listened to the interview with the mayor or Kai Mead would know that I ask them tough questions. I will ask the auditor tough questions. That's the job of a journalist, to ask tough questions. And I think at our best, call us what you like, talk show host, broadcasters, whatever, we all want to be journalists. We want to convey information and education to the listening audience. So I always want to make the point that we are asking Robert Landon to come on. He does not respond. Most of the time, we don't even get a no. We just don't get a response. Now, I would guess that he has his reasons for not coming on, if you would ask him. But that's what it is. I don't want anybody to ever think that we are not asking him on. And I hope that he listens to the show to know that we do not softball question anybody. So if the worry is that we are going to ask tough questions, well, I hope we ask them of everybody who's on the show. But again, when it's live, it's in his court to answer. I am not a lie detector. Nobody is. And I'm not saying that he would lie, but I just, his answer is the important part, and that's what we all want to hear. So, it's been asked a lot why we haven't had him on. Again, we have invited him on many, many times. I think I invited him on as recently as Sunday night. I said, anytime you want to come on this week, come on. We will make the time. And no response has came. So, that's where that is. Now, our guest, I think, is delayed here a little bit. I know this person is having a busy morning, so we'll talk a little more here, but I can assure you that they are coming, and I think what they have to say is going to be of importance. Now, yesterday the mayor and Kai Mead made some points in regard to what has been going on here in Marion. And it just gets more peculiar because in today's Marion Star, you will see that the headline is Marion Police Clears Councilman of Auditor Mail Theft. Now, if you were listening last Friday, you found out on this show when Josh Daniels called in, City Councilman at Large, head of the Finance Committee, that Robert Landon had called the Marion Police Department and filed a charge against Josh, saying that he stole his mail. And an investigation was done. A matter of fact, I got all 40-something pages of this investigation, and Police Chief Jay McDonald has pretty well said, based on what the investigators investigated, and it was quite an investigation, it's not like they spoke to one person, that he did not steal his mail. So you have to ask yourself, why is this going on? I think that's what you have to say. And that was kind of the tenor of yesterday's show with the mayor and with Kai Mead, after we discussed some other things, including the ARPA money, was why is this going on? Now, also, another very important point here is that Auditor Landon sent a press release out to me and to other media outlets on October the 6th, and he says in this press release that, and I just want to read it because I do not want to misquote him at all. Contrary to the information and statements that have been made concerning the responsibilities of my office, I wanted to take the opportunity to, in fact, let you know what exactly the truth is, not the false statements some have made. My office has met our deadline that is required of us to maintain our bonds. The report we submitted is referred to as the annual information filing. This was completed in a timely manner. Further, my office has submitted all information to the state auditors in reference to the reconciliation of our finances. This was sent to the media on October the 6th. Now, on Monday, October the 11th, because Robert Landon currently is not attending these meetings because of his recovery, due to his recovery from COVID-19, and Deputy Auditor Martin Watts, who is attending these meetings, was asked Monday, we got this confirmed from Mayor Schertzer and Kai Mead yesterday, he was asked, are the books reconciled? And the answer was, no, they are not. That's October 11th. And to my knowledge, unless pointed out differently, up until October 13th, this morning, the books are still not reconciled. And the mayor said yesterday he has heard nothing from the state that the books are reconciled. So we have to wonder at this point, what is going on here? Because there is a press release that everybody got on October the 6th from the auditor himself saying that the books are reconciled. His deputy auditor, 5 days later, said they were not. Ask yourself why on that. Now, why is this important? Okay, it's important, and it's a complicated thing, I understand that. But it's important because if the books of Marion are not reconciled, we're talking about the 2020 books, not the 2021 books, which were supposed to be reconciled, it's my understanding, sometime back in May. The city did receive two extensions. The third extension that they asked for was denied. So at this point, the third extension's been denied to get these books done, and I guess at this point they're just not done. I'm sure people are working on this, but they're not done. Now, if you don't have a completed set of books, as the mayor said yesterday, it's hard to put together a budget for next year. It's hard to appropriate money, And it's hard to file paperwork with the federal government asking for grant money. And the big grant money that is being talked about right now is the $2.5 million that comes from the federal government that helps fund Marion Area Transit, the Marion Senior Center, and the police and fire departments. That would have to make cuts if that money is not there. If you don't have a completed set of books for the city, you cannot file for that money. That's one of the things you have to have. And we don't have that yet. Now, the mayor was told back in a meeting in early September that the deadline for that was September the 30th. We don't know anything. When the mayor was on yesterday, he says he doesn't know if this money's in jeopardy or not because we have blown by that September 30th deadline and the books are not reconciled. So is that money in danger? Nobody really knows at this point. Nobody really knows. And yet, in the city here, we are sending out press releases saying that the books are done. I don't know why. I would like to know why. That's all. There is no motive in that at all. And by the way, just in all disclosure, I don't live in the city. I don't vote for the auditor. I don't vote for the mayor. I don't vote for anybody on city council. I don't have a dog in this fight. But I am curious, as somebody who has lived in Marion all my life, as to why this would happen. Why this press release was sent out. Was there some confusion? I don't get it. Because it was contradicted 5 days later by somebody in his own office. I also don't understand the stealing of the mail by another councilman accusation. And not only an accusation, by the way, charges were filed. And we can look to the Marion Star this morning and say that those charges were not accurate, as the Marion police have cleared Councilman Josh Daniels of the auditor's mail theft charge. So that's where we are in this whole, and it is a drama. There's no other word to say. That's where we are. So we'll hopefully get our guests in here momentarily. They are being delayed. You know, everybody does have a life outside this show, I know. But we will get them on, and I think this will be of great importance. But I do want to say this, because I have never bought the idea that we are all in competition and here in Marion, and we shouldn't go on other people's shows, and we shouldn't mention other stations, and we shouldn't mention other outlets and things of that nature. I want to say, I will say this, and this is to the best of my knowledge. I believe Mitch over at the Marion Star, Mitch Hooper, is the only working reporter there right now. I believe that's true. Now, there's a lot going on in Marion right now, and he is trying to crank these articles out. And I think that's a major task. And it is not his decision that he be the only reporter, or one of few. I'm not sure which it is. So the fact that he is staying on these stories and getting them out to people who possibly don't listen to the radio or don't pay attention to the internet is, you know, he deserves a pat on the back. He's a young guy, and I think he's doing the best he can do in a really tough situation, in a really busy news cycle here in Marion, certainly as we head into the November elections. There's a lot of news in regard to that. So that's where we are at this point. Now, I guess the old line about not mentioning other news sources on your own program has just went out the window. I think that's okay. Now, remember, Glenn will be coming up at 10:10 this morning, and Glenn and I will have a lot to talk about, I'm sure. We had a great show last week in regard to some charges that were made against accusations. Again, it's accusations. It's not really charges. Accusations of charges, I guess, against a city council member. I don't know that we'll talk any more about that, but that turned into a whole two-hour show last week that I thought the conversation was one that needed to be had on the air, again, to inform and educate people of what's going on. And I do find it interesting. And I'm trying to mention this story very vaguely because we did it, we talked about the story quite a bit last Wednesday, that the Marion Star never, to my knowledge, and I may be wrong, did an article on that particular story. And one of the conversations that we were having last week, Glenn and I, was that if you run this story in the Marion Star, does it become political? And the fact that it, up until this point, to my knowledge, was not run, I would guess that the Marion Star saw that story as political, which is maybe why they didn't run it. Now, I'm not saying for sure. I'm not in anybody's mind. Maybe they just didn't have the time and effort to do it. But I do find that an interesting point here a week later, 7 days later, that I have not seen that story that was brought up here last week, and brought up here because we received a press release from a party here in town in regard to that story. So that's interesting to me, now that a week passed. You know, sometimes you get some space between yourself and a story, and you find out what the process is of that story, and then you look back to the initial conversation and you say, well, maybe they thought it was a little too political. We had a problem, honestly, talking about it on the air last week, even though we did, because it seemed political. Now, I know there were people who did not like that we said that. Now, the accusation was not political. And I don't want people to confuse the two. The accusation of what the person did, and again, I know this sounds very vague, but I just don't want to mention names and dust this thing up again. But the accusation was not political. The accusation's very serious. Any crime is very serious. That's not what we're saying is political, not the accusation. It's that a political party is making the accusation and sending it to the media. That's what is political. 30 days before an election. That's what the political side is. It's not the alleged crime. It's that. Now, maybe this is our guest coming up here, and I believe it is, and we are so glad this person has made time to join us this morning, because it's been quite a conversation the last 5 days here in Marion. Last Friday, City Councilman at Large Josh Daniels joined us via telephone and told us, I believe it was the first time it'd been out anywhere, that City Auditor Robert Landon had accused him of stealing mail from his office to the point of where he'd contacted the police department, and at that point, when we spoke to Josh, the investigation was ongoing, and if you look at the Star today, or you look at the Marion Star website, you will see the headline, Marion Police Clears Councilman of Auditor Mail Theft. And I believe in his first broadcast interview since this clearing has happened, we're so glad to welcome to these microphones City Councilman at Large Josh Daniels. Josh, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Doing well. An interesting week since we spoke last. A few, blanks have been filled in. You now have been cleared of mail theft, the charge that the auditor made against you. Can you kind of fill in what happened since last Friday when Thursday the charge was made and Friday the investigation was ongoing?
Sure. One, I as I discussed this at length, I think, last week, so I'll be brief. As the finance chair, my job on the finance committee is to facilitate these types of particularly payment matters. Do the bills get paid, in other words, to facilitate problems that, you know, are generated back to council. And so I actually is the conduit between the third floor and council. It came to my attention, I believe it would have been October the 6th, that a bill had not been paid to the Ohio Public Works Commission, which funds our sewer programs. And we have had a tremendous amount of talk about flooded basements, backed up sewers, etc. I can let everyone know this is the agency that is, it's one of the most important partners we have in fixing sewer problems. They provide outright grants, which some years ago would have been called Issue 2. It was approved by voters at the state level in a ballot initiative. It also provides 0% interest for other loans that we may take, and there's several of them, maybe 20-25 that are on the books currently, that go back, you know, clear 30 years. They offer this interest-free money for a period of 30 years, which helps in cash flow, and it also allows us to use less inflated dollars today to make the repairs that we need instead of waiting 10 years down the road when it's much more expensive. So they're a good partner. You have to keep up your end of the deal, though, which means that you have to pay the loans back. You have to make your payments on time. Now, all I can say is this, of what I do know, and there's some conjecture in the gray area there, but I'll tell you what I do know. The payment was not made until September, according to the auditor's office, September the 29th of this year, and it was due July 1st. The first thing I did, as I would suggest any future finance chairman or member of the finance committee do, is you go in, and when you receive this information, you check it out. You make sure that people are actually giving you, you know, the right picture. So I immediately went to the auditor's office, asked Martin Watts, has this bill been paid? He presented me with the receipt that said it had been paid as the 29th of September. The document normally wouldn't have been handled this way, but, you know, unfortunately, our city auditor doesn't listen to anyone's advice. He has surmised it to be a political attack. I'm not listening, and I don't know who he's getting his advice from. But he is, at this point, untenable. So to relay to him that yet another bill had not been paid by his office, I published it. I simply told voters, you wonder who pays the city's bills? It's the city auditor. If you wonder who has allowed this bill to go 90 days late, it's, again, ask your city auditor. He then decided upon reading this, maybe he was mad, and decided, you know, I need to pay for that somehow. I need to pay for acting in the commission of my duties. So he lodges a police report alleging that I stole his mail. The problem with that was is they don't send the mail conventionally through the U.S. Postal Service. It's done by email. They then send a card that says, we sent you a bill, you know. As we went through this, we discovered that his office knows this. Kim Hutchinson, as you'll read in the story, from her emails that were looked at by the Marion Police Department, she indicates apparently in those emails that she knew that the bill was sent by email. So why is it that the office would accuse someone of stealing U.S. postage mail and then publishing it when it's actually, they know it's actually sent by email? That was a ruse. If you know that this person didn't steal the mail because there was no mail and you file a police report anyway, you know, to retaliate against this person you feel has politically attacked you, it's in my viewpoint, this is what we're gathering information now, that by the law, and anyone out there can look it up, it's ORC 2921.03, the intimidation of a public official. When you put forth these actions and you know them to be false and you're doing them with the sole intent of discouraging a public official from looking at your bad, we'll call it bad paperwork, bad bookkeeping, that's where we are now. That's a problem.
Josh, who is gathering this information now?
There's a Freedom of Information Act, myself, for one, that was submitted to the prosecutor's office. Mr. Landon sent some correspondence over. Mr. Ray Grogan did nothing with that correspondence. I think he was probably waiting on the police report. But at our last meeting, Mr. Grogan, there for a different matter, was asked, had you received correspondence from Mr. Landon? And he had sent some, you know, email over there. We're going to get to the bottom of what the contents are, and we're going to establish that Mr. Landon did indeed know there was no mail to Even Steele and filed a fictitious police report. And if we get to that point, we're going to go further.
If that does happen, what going further, what happens at that point?
It will be filed if indeed I establish that, you know, and legal authorities establish that his intent was to discourage a public official from looking into his books, then the appropriate authorities are going to be involved. I would imagine that will probably end up over at Mr. Grogan's office, who then I would assume would recuse himself, being a local, you know, prosecutor. And if he were to decide to go further, my assumption is that he would have an independent investigator look through the matter.
So this is a serious, I think that was lost last week on a lot of people, that this is not just a rule that is put in place for elected officials. This is a law. This would be breaking a law that could be punishable by any of the things that the law should determine.
If indeed that he were to meet the standard of illegality in this law, then yes, he'll be made responsible for that one way or the other. But the bottom line is this. You don't play games with the police department by filing fictitious, fraudulent police reports, tying policemen up. The bottom line is in this climate, it's difficult. It's more difficult to get officers to even work in the field, you know, or to get new people to come into the police field, and to tie up our best investigating nonsense over a political disgruntlement. That's wrong. And I will say this, that if the standard of the law, you know, is deemed to not have been broken, I'll look at the other side. I'm not going to tie up law enforcement with some frivolous accusation.
Josh, I have a question here. Now, what we know is filing a knowingly fictitious, for whatever reason, filing a fictitious report, is there any illegality there?
Gosh, as voluminous as the law is, you know, with the exception of the statute that I have, I'm not an attorney, but with the statute that we have looked at, which I just mentioned, there is at least one example of why that behavior may be illegal.
And just if somebody's tuning in right now, Josh has been cleared of mail theft charges that the auditor filed. But what we know now is that Mrs. Hutchinson, who works in the auditor's office, has, during this investigation, five-day investigation conducted by the Marion Police Department, said that there was no mail to steal, that this was done by email. So, and the auditor definitely knew this. Is that correct, Josh? Landon knew that this did not come by mail the federal way.
It's really hard to tell. Gosh, he should have known it. What can we almost emphatically prove, according to the story, if you were to read it? There was an email exchange between Kim Hutchinson and OPWC. So it's very hard to figure out how she didn't know this bill was sent by email. And it did know that it was sent by email and then was instructed to go make a report alleging that I stole, you know, mailed in an envelope type mail, then, you know, and that no theft ever occurred, then that's just covering your, or trying to cover your bottom by putting out a deflection. That's where it gets wrong. And if you open this up in court, which is where they end up, at least then the actors, instead of coming to a council meeting and not being held accountable for the truth at all, I mean, they're not under oath. They can say whatever they wish to the public and the council and whoever. But at least if you're being deposed in a legal scenario, you're deposed under oath. So maybe that would help us get to the bottom of what the actual truth is and who told who what.
Josh, let me ask you this with what we know now. We know you're cleared of mail theft. We know some of the background of what the investigation was with the police department. And we know what you will do if you find out through this Freedom of Information Act what will happen with the auditor, that you will file charges if that standard is met under the revised code, Ohio revised code. So right now where we sit, do you believe he was trying to intimidate you? And I know it's an opinion, but I know you're a straight shooter on this. You don't have the facts. We're making that very clear. That has not happened yet. Do you believe, knowing what we do know, that that's why this was done?
It is my personal opinion and belief that he acted with vengeance. And it is my personal belief that he did know that there was nothing stolen and used this as a ruse. Because I will go back once further. In that story, in the bottom of it, this isn't the only time he's used the police department and come up with an investigation that was not conclusive that anyone stole anything. He alleged that there were three members that they hacked his email. And those were redacted in the police report, but there's a history of this. This isn't the only time. And what they discovered then was that his deputy auditor, Miss Hutchinson, that would be Kevin Norris's sister, she was hired after Kevin's unsuccessful mayoral race. But what we do know is that she somehow was at her computer, logged in, and that is when the occurrence on the payroll, which is the separate matter, was changed from Marion City to Hutchinson something. Her name actually ended up in the employer's line. Well, that makes doing taxes a bear, because everyone who got that, you know, believe it to be a W9, would have two different employers. So what do you do? Do you get, you know, two reporting documents from your employer and then have to report that you work for two different employers when you actually work for the city of Marion? It just causes everyone that has to go through it just a mess.
So just,
well, they
go ahead.
Came back to discover, in conclusion, making it quick, they came back to discover that only in the instance if she would have got up from her computer, left the room, and left her computer on, but then the office is locked, so then we're back to someone in the office changing it. I suppose that might be a defense. But the police department looked at it, and I believe they have concluded that with much certainty it was Ms. Hutchinson that was on the computer when that mistake was made.
So just to make this clear, what was just said, through this investigation, we have now learned, the current investigation, that the city auditor had contacted the police department in the past alleging that a computer in the auditor's office was hacked by some people who are names redacted in the report, and that was found out to be not true by the Marion Police Department.
That was found out to be, yes.
Okay. Now,
conclusive, not true.
Well, this is interesting. And Josh, because you are on the city council, and I'm going to come back to this story. We have about 10 minutes here, and I appreciate the time. I know you're busy this morning. But this is also important. And again, people are going to get tired of me reading these two paragraphs, but I do not want to misquote him at all. But we got new news on Monday. October the 6th, the press release by Robert Landon sent out said this: "Contrary to the information and statements that have been made concerning the responsibilities of my office, I wanted to take the opportunity to, in fact, let you know what exactly the truth is, not the false statements some have made. My office has met our deadline that is required of us to maintain our bonds. The report we submitted is referred to as the annual information filing. This was completed in a timely manner. Further, my office has submitted all information to the state auditors in reference to the reconciliation of our finances." And there was an article, Mr. Landon did do an interview with the Marion Star in Friday's Star, I believe, where he also said that the $2.5 million that we were worried about losing is safe, the bond paperwork has been filed, that the paperwork has been sent to the state is behind because of COVID. Now, that's where we were on Friday when I talked to you last. Now, what we know since then is, at Monday City Council meeting, and correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, Deputy Auditor Martin Watts was there and was asked again, because of this press release last week and because of the article in the Star, are the books reconciled? And he said no. Also, the mayor was on this show yesterday, Kai Mead was on this show yesterday, and both said, to their knowledge, the books are not reconciled, and they don't know how the issue with the bond is okay, because you would need that paperwork from the state to do that paperwork. Now, is what I said there correct?
Yes.
Okay, so how can that be? How can the city auditor send a statement out on October 6th saying that the books are fine and the bond issue is fine, and his deputy auditor Monday in a live city council meeting says they're not?
Well, I'll say this. I guess the best. America is in need of some marital counseling. We have two spouses, one of which happens to be the Democratic Party and the other happens to be the Republican Party. And neither of those trust each other, and that includes the voters. Now, to make a statement like that, that you know to be wrong, what you're depending on politically is this. You're depending on your word against their word. You'll create so much confusion. This is a financial matter. Not everyone's a CPA or can read through all the information that's given out. So the strategy would be to put out as much wrong information, create as much confusion as you could create. And then when you run for re-election, you're hoping that you, being the prevailing political party in this town, typically Republican, that with all of that confusion, people would just disregard who said what, and you would win re-election by virtue of people disliking the Democratic Party or not trusting what they say. Doesn't mean what you're putting out is the truth. It just means you've got enough people confused that'll go in and vote the party line that you'll become reelected. That is the age-old strategy. It's not newly introduced. It's been used for a long time. But and if you think about it, the listener out there, how many times have you seen that to be true, even in Washington, at the state level, et cetera? Yeah, you've seen it. A politician gets embattled in a nasty issue and they create enough confusion. You know, I can remember a congressman that up in Youngstown, that was Jim Trafficant. Well, he finally ended up in a federal pen, but they just kept reelecting him because he was apparently a master at, you know, keeping people confused about what the truth was. So, you know, it's not new. It happens a lot.
But in our remaining 6 minutes here, Josh, I guess the point that I want to get to is that we have not seen this in Marion to this degree. I asked the mayor yesterday. He said he's never seen anything like this in his career. Now, you're the chair of the Finance Committee at this point. People keep talking about accountability for the auditor, but yet I'm not sure what that is. I understand he was elected by the people. I understand it's a very high bar to remove him from that office. I understand that. But what happens? Is this just politics as usual and we keep on rolling down the road?
Well, there was a time when this initially began in January. It began before that, but it was brought before council, and we've argued about it to some degree, various degrees, at different meetings for now 10 months or so. Inside yourself, you want to believe someone. You want to say, he's new to the office. There are going to be mistakes made. There absolutely are going to be mistakes made at anything someone does new. And when you make those mistakes, you reach out to a friend, a mentor, someone more experienced, and you say, hey, I need to work this out. And you don't repeat the mistake. You learn from it. That was my hope for this office. And I can remember even when the first mention of an investigation began over the missed payments with the IRS, which I think have probably accumulated into more than, if the first month and the second month, we're looking at in excess of $160,000 to $70,000 in penalties and fees that the city of Marion is going to have to pay the federal government because we made an accounting mistake. I absolutely do not want to see local dollars going to the feds. That's not how the system's supposed to work. I don't want the feds having any more money that could have been spent here locally on the things that we need. But that's ultimately what happened. And I was even at that point willing to say, if you tell me the truth, you say it was a clerical error, it was a mistake, illustrate that to me, I'll be willing to accept that there wasn't any wrongdoing here. It was simply a mistake. And we can get past one mistake. My employees make mistakes. I make mistakes. Trust me, I do. But the one thing that people I deal with and myself, when we make a mistake, we own up to it. The first thing out of our mouth is we did it, and we're sorry for it, and we fix it the best we can fix it. But when I came to the conclusion that this man is not willing to take any accountability for any mistake that he makes in his office, I'm reminded of a story, really. Mark Twain once wrote a story about the adventures of Tom Sawyer, and in it, I remember reading, I think it was Aunt Polly was her name, but it told, Tom to go out and paint the fence. Well, somehow Tom was able to get all his buddies to do the dirty work while Tom sat back and, did little or nothing. He was clever that way, but in the end, he didn't paint the fence, took credit for it, his friends painted the fence. Well, this guy I'm reminded of that story. It's like it's always someone else's fault. They did it, not me. Deflection, back and forth, but never a true accounting of saying, we made this mistake, we're going to fix it to the best that we can fix it. And a decent person, if they were simply unable to manage that job, might consider stepping aside and saying, if I cannot manage this job or I cannot make myself better doing it, then fine. I don't think that he can. I don't think he's able to do that. And that is the disappointing part. And,
Do you, Josh, feel that he... Because I'm reminded of the case that we went through with Judge Warner. Completely different set of circumstances. But people calling on him to resign, even though he did not for a long time, did seem to matter to people. That people were on the history record, saying that this man should not continue to collect a paycheck from taxpayer dollars with what has happened. Now, with what has happened with the auditor, different set of circumstances completely here, should an auditor who apparently, allegedly, makes a statement in a press release about city finances being done. His deputy auditor corrects that 5 days later, files a police report, which we now know was not correct, against another councilman, that apparently in the past has filed police reports against people. We don't know their names right now because of redactions, but that this has happened before. This is not... That's not city finances. That's something else. As the head of the finance committee, as a former county commissioner, as a longtime city councilman, should he resign? Do you call on him to resign at this point?
you know what, I have an extensive patience for teaching someone what they don't know. I'm a business owner myself. I can say I have never filed or fired an employee for making an honest mistake. Never. It has revolved around other things. When your character is in question, and I'm not only questioning this man's ability to do the job, I now am firmly convinced he doesn't have the character to do it. And that could have changed months ago, you know, just, hey, we're making some mistakes and we're in the process of getting them fixed. We're going to hire qualified people to come in here and straighten this mess out. The first bit of advice I told Robert Landon when he was elected, and this would have been November of 2019. He was a councilman at the time. I ran into him in front of, it was on the second floor in common or city court, municipal court, where we hold our meetings. I was out front, and I said, Robert, the one thing I'll say is don't get rid of the smart people. That was my way of telling him, keep someone who can train whatever staff you bring in there. Don't empty the office of everyone that can do the job. That obviously wasn't his strategy. He had those jobs filled, you know, two deputy auditors each making an excess, I think, of $70,000 a year. And, you know, and here's the end result. Now you've got a council that has no idea. We can't even talk about how to allocate money because we don't know if the figures in front of us, there's been so much confidence lost, you don't even know if how much is in the checking account. You know, unless you were to actually go to Fay Bank and say, can we have the checking account? But then you wouldn't know what checks are written off of it. So council sits around and, you know, none of us could make a good presumption as to whether the city is in good financial health or bad because we don't have the numbers and can't compile them. You know, that's a problem. You know, there was a contractor out there with probably a bad taste in his mouth over this last unpaid bill. He's probably wondering, well, why am I the one not getting paid when it's the city that didn't pay its bill? You know, that'll be reflected in his confidence in the city if he bids on another job. Hope they do. But it'll be reflected in the price. That's not good for consumers of City of Marion that want work done on their streets and sewers. So you want to instill confidence in the people that work for you. I can tell you how I do it. When I hire a subcontractor to do work for us, they're paid. When that work is done, I'm on it, I look at it, and if I've got to go to their house to pay them, I'll pay them. That's to my benefit because I want to know those bills are squared away so I don't have to keep coming and avoiding new work to stumble over old work. So you complete things that are behind you so you can be done with them and you don't have to waste time coming back to them. That's how I handle it. But apparently that message is not how the management style of the auditor's office is currently.
Should he resign, in your opinion?
Yes, he should. He should resign. Am I the one to say that I like the idea when elected officials get together and, you know, the voters put him in office. And I think they relied on bad information that he put out or not. You know, whatever their decision on electing their auditor, it's their auditor. All right? So I am far more comfortable with voters coming together, and if they believe they have made a bad choice or a good one, they can decide that at next election. I just am not sure that financially speaking, the city can continually unravel these mistakes for the next 2 or 3 years. I think that we'll give it our best attempt, or the city, you know, will give it its best attempt. Personally, if there were a ballot initiative for the recall of this elected official, I would vote yes.
Final question here, Josh. As you say, you've talked to this man. He works in City Hall. Not that you have an intimately close relationship with him, but character matters. You said it. At this point, final question this morning here with about a minute left to go. Tell me about this man, because people do vote on the people. And through what you've learned through these investigations, through his work over the last couple years, who is this guy to you? Who is Robert Landon?
I'm going to tell you who I used to think he was, and then I'll tell you what I think now and why that changed. When I first met Robert Landon, it was as a candidate in the first ward. I believe he was running against Ralph Cumston. I got to know him afterwards. He was actually one of the individuals that I specifically invited to help us work out contractor registration. All right? I had some faith that this was a new councilman that wanted to do, we reflect our best aspirations on someone who's picking up something new. It even came to the point he called me once and asked, it was at Primrose, they were holding a concert. I believe he worked there. They were holding a concert, needed a trailer as a stage. No cost, no question. Hey, I'll bring that out. No problem. Picked it up. They used it, picked it up, and that was fine. It has not always been contentious with this guy. It surely hasn't. All right? I would have almost told people I liked him. Unfortunately, in life, we can like a lot of people, but we don't know who they are until the rubber hits the pavement, until they get knee-deep in some kind of trouble. And I don't think we should expect perfection out of anyone. That's ridiculous. If you think that your elected officials don't make mistakes, either human or business-wise, they do. They're as perfect as you are. But it's what you do when the mistake is made that dictates whether people will continue to deal with you. And if you take accountability for it, you put forth concrete measures to solve it, you let people know that, we wouldn't be here today. He would have the help that he needed. But anyone that could help him, he's alienated, stated it's all politics. He's turned this financial office into simply a reelection campaign. It's all about politics. And there's no character to back up to tell anyone, this is what I did, this is what I'm going to do about it, I take responsibility. Like I said, I've made mistakes that I'm not proud of either. All of us have. But my inclination is to not cover them up. That is not, it's to say, I did it, this is what I'm going to do to change, I take my lumps and I'm going to move on with life. And when he's unable to do that, I'm not going to be around someone like that, either in business, I'm not going to do business with them, and I'm surely not going to call him my friend anymore. That, I don't need friends like that. So, that's my personal opinion.
Final question. Does the city of Marion currently have a competent auditor, and is the money safe? You're the head of the finance committee.
He is not suited for this job. He doesn't have a management style that's suited for it either. Is the money in the city of Marion safe? I'm going to say one thing. I don't know, because I can remember an elected official in the city of Galleon that took them, if my memory serves me, for $1 million. And yes, this person was ultimately caught. I mean, it is book work. You can't, someone's going to find out. But I don't know that Galleon was ever able to recover those funds. So when you're put in a position of saying, looking at everyone's tax return, you're paying the bills for the city, you're writing the checks. I can't say with certainty that I have any confidence that it is 100% secure.
City Councilman Josh Daniels. Josh, keep us updated on what's going on here. I appreciate your calls and the time you've made, and we will continue to follow this because I think it's important for the citizens of Marion. Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to break. Coming back with Glenn Coble, and now a whole lot to talk about on our plate in about 10 minutes.
Of Marion.
You have been listening to the Obituary Report on WWGH Radio, heard daily at 8:10 a.m., 10:10 a.m.,